This morning, Hillary Clinton speaks to labor leaders, and tonight she'll give her last scheduled speech ahead of what many expect will be the launch of her presidential campaign. In recent months, she has talked to a number of women's groups, pointing to a likely shift in tone from 2008 to 2016. NPR's Tamara Keith has more.
At the end of the grueling 2008 primary fight, Hillary Clinton gathered supporters in Washington, D.C. and endorsed her opponent, Barack Obama. But she also delivered perhaps the most memorable line of her whole campaign.
Although we weren't able to shatter that highest, hardest glass ceiling this time, thanks to you, it's got about 18 million cracks in it.
It's a line you could say began paving the way for her seemingly inevitable 2016 campaign.
And the light is shining through like never before, filling us all with the hope and the sure knowledge that the path will be a little easier next time.
Prior to that final moment in her campaign, Clinton rarely talked about the glass ceiling. The calculus? She'd have the women's vote locked up, and some of her campaign advisors were worried about alienating men. The first question Clinton got at her very first town hall meeting in Iowa came from a woman who pointed out that all 43 presidents had been men.
And my question is, how is your campaign prepared to tackle that issue? Thank you.
The answer was long and sort of meandering, as if Clinton herself was trying to figure out how to tackle the issue.
Oh, I expect there'll probably be more stories about my clothes and hair than some of the people running against me. And I just have accepted that.
But she said she'd just have to work harder, have to fight through the double standard. And then she got to a point that would crystallize in the coming weeks.
The fact that I'm a woman, the fact that I'm a mom, is part of who I am. But I'm going to ask people to vote for the person they believe will be the best president.
Before long, a standard part of her stump speech was this line.
But I am not running as a woman. I am running because I believe I am the best qualified and experienced person.
The country was involved in two ground wars, and she and her advisors didn't want to leave room for anyone to question her toughness. J.Ann Selzer runs her own polling firm in Iowa.
I think the strategy was to say, I am qualified for this job, and anything that you think of in terms of a stereotype of what a woman leader would be like, oh, she'd be soft on defense, she'd be reluctant to send in the armed forces, she wanted to make perfectly clear that that was not going to be the kind of leader that she would be.
Some people involved with Clinton's 2008 campaign believe this was a mistake. Bonnie Campbell, a prominent Democratic activist in Iowa and former state attorney general, says it was a different time.
We think 2008 wasn't that long ago, but politically, it really was. And I believe that women candidates really believe that they should fit in rather than stand out.
And now, nearly 7 years after the election of the nation's first black president, and 2 years into a national conversation about women leaning in, Campbell says she expects Clinton to run a different campaign.
She's really relaxed and comfortable and clearly more willing to say, I am woman, and so are you, and so are your children, and this is why it's important.
Case in point? Clinton's speech earlier this month at the Emily's List Gala.
Don't you someday want to see a woman president of the United States of America?
Even Clinton's explanation of deleting 30,000 personal emails from her time at the State Department hinted at a softer side she kept hidden for much of the campaign in 2008.
Emails about planning Chelsea's wedding or my mother's funeral arrangements, condolence notes to friends, as well as yoga routines, family vacations, the other things you typically find in inboxes.
People close to Clinton say this is who she is. And at 67, she's comfortable in her own skin in a way she wasn't before. She also has a granddaughter and several more years of foreign policy experience. Tamara Keith, NPR News.